And welcome back to another episode of the Dude from Los Angeles podcast out here in Boyle Heights, beautiful California. And on this week's episode, man, on this week, we actually had two episodes. Let's get it right. Dude, Eric Silva, man, in the house, the main man.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Sergio?
This is a little lackluster because we spent maybe about a good 40 minutes trying to figure this setup out. And I'm sorry, this is like, usually I'm really on it and it loads up and it's done. And today it took forever. I mean, you brought the bad juju, man.
That's yeah, man, it happens, dude. It follows me everywhere, man.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, does it, man?
Nah, I'm just messing. Nah, it's all good, though. I mean, you figured it out. You're getting there.
I'm getting there, man.
You're tech savvy.
Now, I'm really not. I remember that this happens every now and then. It's something to do with, like, some audio MIDI stuff for all the people out there that got MacBooks, you know? That's it. But, man, thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for sticking around.
Absolutely, man. You know, we've been talking about this for a while, so I'm always looking forward to it.
Yeah, I've been hounding you for a while. I'm like, hey, man, you can do the podcast. You know what's the funniest thing, man? Like, you got that same humor my brother does, where I was like, oh, yeah, man, like, let's do the podcast, you know? And I asked you, I was like, hey, man, let me get some beer. And I was like, hey, man, maybe get the beer, we could go do the podcast. He's like, hey, you have a podcast?
Yeah, I'm just giving you a hard time because I know I've been putting it off too. It's my bad too. I'm like, oh yeah, next week, and I'll call you. And then the day comes, and I'm like, yeah, it's not gonna happen. But it's all good, man. We're here. We made it happen. You know, we're here, like you said, in beautiful Boyle Heights. So
yeah, it's all good. Man. You were just here yesterday.
I was having a good time. Yeah, I was just across the street at Eastside Love. You know, a little Morrisioki.
Morrisioki.
Yeah, man.
They make you dress up at Eastside Love, right? by dress up, I mean, like, you have to put on nice shoes
not for this night. It's a very casual night. It's, you know.
You can wear Vans and you're solid.
And, I mean, most of the people there are probably wearing Vans and chucks and jeans and a lot of hair product for the guys.
Yeah, a lot of suavecito and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of suavecito, a lot of... definitely a lot of pomade and stuff, but yeah, it's a good time, man. It's just a bunch of Smiths and Morrissey fans just going up there and belting out their favorite hits, it's funny because it's Morrisioki, so people think it's like karaoke, but it's more of a sing along because they don't even have the lyrics. People that know the music, and it's a safe space, you know. It definitely is, because, you know, everybody's a fan. So,
dude, I told you, right? Like, the first concert I ever went to was a Morrissey cover band, was a Sweet and Tender Hooligans. Yeah, I was like in sixth grade or something, you know. And I remember, like, back then, like, I mean, I didn't go to shows, you know, and the people that did, they were like, oh shit, you go to shows? Like, damn, you hear live music? And I was like, well, guess what? Fucking Bethany, whatever the fuck that girl's name was that goes to live shows. I was like, I went to go see a Morrissey cover band. That was the shit.
Yeah.
It was a lot of people don't know. Morrissey is like, I mean, maybe people that listen to this, but most people don't know that this dude has like legit cover bands that people actually go out and see because it's so hard to find this guy.
Like you said, you mentioned Sweet and Tender Hooligans. There's a few other bands. There's Nowhere Fast, this charming band.
I'll pull that up right to you. You can move it right up to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely something that a lot of people really take very serious. And, you know, people love it. I mean, there's events. There's Instagram pages. There's Facebook pages that are just dedicated to letting you know where all the Morrissey events are going on.
No way.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, like I said, it's if you enjoy the music, it's cool to be with people that, you know, that enjoy it. And, you know, I have a good time. Like I said, we go up there. I've actually made a lot of friends at Morrisioki. And the only thing we have in common is the music, so that's kind of cool, you know. And like, the same music brings people together. I guess it's true, you know.
Yeah, so. Are they mostly all Mexican? Can they not be? Like, of most course. Of them, everybody. It was a crazy phenomenon.
It is, and it's still going strong. Like I said, I mean, it's getting bigger, and you know, here in LA, I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many cover bands there are, but there's at least five. You know, so. And then they have the convention every year, too, which is, It's like a giant quinceañera because like everybody's Mexican.
Everybody's. Does Morrissey ever show up?
No, man. At least no.
Patrick Morrissey.
Yeah, no. I don't think that guy would ever show his face around here.
Right. But, too many nerds.
Yeah, dude. They'd freaking rip him apart, man. Yeah. So
it's like a Star Wars convention. You don't see fucking Lucas dropping.
It's worse, man.
Oh, jeez. That makes sense. Yeah, because you can't eat meat. I think.
Exactly.
That guy. Damn, that guy. Yeah. Dude, and why I wanted to have you on because. I mean, you were telling me that you were starting to do these classes at the UCB.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're doing out there?
Right there? Well, I started doing taking improv classes, is just, improvisational, I don't know, I guess acting or... Yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to do, and I finally, last year, around June... Mm-hmm. I had the time and most importantly, I had the money. And I was like, I'm gonna do it because I've always wanted to get into comedy, whether it be starting improv or do stand up.
Yeah,
which is that's kind of like the ultimate goal, I think, it is. But yeah, I've been doing the improv and it's going pretty good. I mean, it's definitely difficult, and but it's good, man. It's fun. The diversity factor is definitely not there. That's something that I think I've been struggling a little bit with that, but man, it's been a good time, man.
Yeah, and by diversity you mean just like you're the black people?
No, there's definitely it's lopsided. There's a lot more white people. There's a lot of white improv teams. There's a small community of Latinos in UCB, and we're trying to get that going. My buddy, I have some friends that are part of the only Latino group. Latinx group, as they call it. Or
Latinx.
Call it.
Yeah. I love Latinx, man. Do you know what Latinx is?
I mean, I kind of know the Latinos. Basics. Yeah, Latinos. It's just you don't want to use... Latino, they don't want to... Like the masculinity or the feminine just kind
of... Oh, my God. But the whole language is masculine and feminine.
So it takes definitely some getting used to because I know a lot of people do get offended by those, those... what is it? Pronouns that they...
Yeah, I mean, I get offended because I'm fluid gender. I'm also... non-binary.
Right, right.
So it really does affect me whenever I go out to shows. And I mean, it's... ladies and gentlemen, I'm like, hey, man, I'm kind of in between sometimes, so leave me alone.
No, I totally get that, man, but I would say... not really, but okay, I'm just trying to move along the conversation. Nah. No, it's what I was getting at, though, they're the only group that's Latino, and we're here in L.A. I mean, we got to have more diversity.
Oh, yeah, man.
And there's actually a big diversity community, but... We're kind of branching off and doing a Latino, Latinx little community, and it's going pretty good. We just they just had a showcase on Wednesday for Hispanic Heritage Month.
Okay,
they had some Latino improvisers come out, some stand-up comedians.
Nice,
and some guy was doing like characters. Their names escape me right now, but it's cool, man. Like, they're trying to build the Latino comedy scene, in that particular, theater because there's obviously, it exists obviously, but specifically at UCB. So that's definitely something that I want to definitely be part of.
Yeah.
And like I said, I put it off for a long time and I'm happy that I'm in there now. I mean, it's still in its infancy, but I'm definitely, part of the community, so it's cool, as opposed to where I was a year ago or a year and a half ago. So,
you mean just being like an actor on the street? When I first met you, I always tell everybody the story of when I met Eric. We were both working together, and we're like an aisle apart, And I hear this motherfucker belching out a song like he's performing it at in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy has like no shame. Like it was great, man. Like you were super comfortable. And the fact that you weren't already doing something in performance arts and stuff like that was fucking weird because you're like, oh man, well, my dad sings. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. My dad sings too.
Yeah. That was an interesting day. Cause we just started talking about how our dads, just the singing part and how my dad, when I was younger, he would always want me to sing with him. He'd be like, hazme segunda,
God.
And then I'm like, I'd start singing. He's like, no te vayas tan alto, sígueme, pero no me pases. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, you know what, dad, just forget it, man. I don't want to do this. And but, I definitely got it from my dad. My dad's a big, he likes to be the center of attention. I don't know if he likes to be the center of attention, but he always just becomes that.
Uh-huh.
Like, if there's parties and we have mariachi, he'll go up there and just, take it for hostage, like the guy. I have buddies that are mariachi singers, and when we have parties, they love coming to our house because they're like, we get to rest our voices because
your dad's gonna
sing all the songs. And
yeah, Set them up there.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, it could backfire because a lot of mariachis don't like, you know, guys, yeah, you know, taking over because they're like, yeah, if they don't hear us sing, how are they going to know if we're good or not? If
this, that is very true. So, that is very true.
But yeah, I think I've always had that inside of me that I wanted to do some type of performing. And I think it was just, I mean, there's a lot of factors, obviously. Time, mm-hmm, money, mm-hmm, confidence, maybe. I mean,
confidence? You think you lacking the confidence?
I know.
If you're lacking the confidence, man, I'm at a mega deficit.
Maybe confident. Yeah. I think it's just more of a, I don't know. I mean,
just getting out there and doing it.
Yeah, just getting out there.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just, I remember that I was looking at different places to take courses at. And it was just a matter of which one fit my schedule, because there's a number of places you could take classes. There's iOS, there's Second City, obviously UCB, and that just kind of fit my schedule, and mm-hmm, and it's worked out so far. But yeah, I've always been somebody who likes to kind of, I guess, perform. You know, like even the karaoke stuff, I don't, you know, so bien aventado, you know, I'll go up there, I don't care, I'll sing, even if I butcher the song, then I butcher it, but at least I got up there, so... Yeah. So it's an interesting place where I'm at right now. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Like, well, what's to come.
That's what makes it so interesting when you say about the confidence thing. Was it just how the weight of like actually putting that first like foot in front of the other kind of
absolutely,
deal? Is that what it was?
Because, you know, you kind of hear like there's certain things you got to do. You know, you got to have your job or, you know, certain people, you know, you have... like a clock, not a clock, but like, oh, you know, out by this age, I want to be married with three kids. It called? A mortgage and be a little league dad. Honestly, man, there's nothing more that I don't want to do, like be a little league dad so to me, it was like, I can't go and try to pursue be a comedian or something because, you know, it's not going to look right, you know? But I was like, fuck it, man. You know, you got to take the plunge and do it. And like I said, you know, I got the money and I got the time. I mean, what do I have to lose? So,
yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Even from like comedians and stuff that I listen to that talk about, if you meet your girl or your partner before you start doing comedies, before you start doing all this stuff, then they have to know what they're getting themselves into. They got to know that, you know, on Tuesday nights you're going to be gone, you know, doing stand up.
Right.
You're going to be gone. You know, for the weekends, if you got to go tour, like that's part of the life. Like,
of course.
And it's going to come, money's going to come slowly,
right,
but eventually it's going to pay off. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not an easy thing to just jump into. So I thought about it a long time, obviously, because I put it off. But yeah, it's something that you got to know that it's not going to happen overnight.
Nah. Yeah. Those like $10 spots that people do, you know, like that's it. You do one $10 spot and you keep going. You do seven of them a night.
And a lot of times, you know, these guys that are actually doing that, you know, the stand-up, they're only doing it for other stand-ups who are just waiting their turn.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's true.
But it's all about the reps. It's the same thing with improv, you know. Yeah. You know, I'm in a practice group and we just do reps. That's all it is. Just
that's all it is,
reps. Because there is a science to it. Not a science, but like there's certain things you have to do, like obviously listening and playing off each other, having each other's backs and stuff. It's all about listening. That's the main thing. Because I mean, it's improv. It's on the fly, you know, right then and there. And there's different ways that you get your inspiration. I'm not sure if you're familiar. Like sometimes they'll do like the basic, you know, give me a one word suggestion and that's it. That's your suggestion.
Uh-huh.
It could be loosely based on that, or you could take it literally and, you know, somebody says cake. Oh, you know, I'm baking this cake, you know, and then it builds from there. My buddies, they did one where it was spoken word poetry.
Uh-huh.
So somebody would come, they would do their poem, and that was your inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was kind of crazy because some poems were, like, really, like, deep. And then you're doing, like, an a comedy scene after that. So.
After that.
Oh, but
fucking,
you know,
downers, dude.
Yeah, you're like, damn, what the hell? But like I said, it's the suggestion and it's never... You don't have to take it, like, literal. You know, you could just kind of dance around it or pull some premise off of it. But that's the cool thing about it. There's a lot of leeway. And I think that's what I like about it. It's not really – there is structure, but it's really not structured. So, you know what I mean? So
yeah, man, definitely. There's, like, Will Sasso. I've heard him on many podcasts and stuff, and that motherfucker has – like just that ability to come up with something super fast. Yeah. And there's no, you know, it takes talent. It also takes practice, like you were saying, reps.
That guy's bad, dude. Damn. When he does his Hulk Hogan impersonation.
Oh my God, Hulk Hogan impersonating. Stone Cold. Yeah. And then, yeah, he's got a lot of them. And
speaking of comedians, man, did you hear Ralphie May?
I heard about that just today. And that's super unfortunate, man. Ralphie May, I've heard him on the Church of What's Happening Now a bunch of times. Yeah, it's super sad, man. He's the guy, man. He was super nice. Everybody had nothing but nice things to say about him, you know?
It's crazy, man. But yeah, dude, I mean, I guess it's something that we're all going to eventually face. Not to get all morbid and all, but yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah, man, I mean.
But yeah, man, I mean, everything else is, like, the journey right now, it's going pretty good. The journey. Yeah. I sound like the such journey. A douchebag, but.
It's barely getting started, you know? Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, and that, you got to start somewhere, and, you know, it's going good, you know? And I want to do something that's very, you know, Latino, a little Hispanic, you know, that's my thing, because I'm very proud of, you know, obviously where I'm from. I mean, I grew up in the Valley, in San Fernando Valley. And,
move it like that. Yeah. Whoa. There it is.
Yeah, there it is. All right. So, yeah, like, I want to do something that, you know, reflects that.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really, like, pushing this whole thing, like, trying to get more, you know, Latino people out there and try to do more improv, because it is white.
Damn.
Not in a bad way, but, I mean, there's no way, I guess, that could sound, but no good way that could sound when you say that.
Right.
But,
I mean, you come up with the premise about Morrissey, there's only, like, you that gets the reference, you know? Everybody's exactly. like, oh, people still listen to that music? You're right. Like, oh, they have conventions.
You don't even know.
Yeah. You know what? There's, like, I heard Paul Rodriguez was talking about his little play and stuff that he's making with a bunch of other people. And kind of the same idea, you know, like, even... You know, like, they got all upset, you know, at the Oscars. There was no black people that won.
Right.
Or whatever. There's like, oh, but, you know, what about brown people, you know?
Yeah.
And he talks about, like, there's blackish, but there's no brownish. Because they canceled, or they didn't go with the Gabriel Iglesias show.
Yeah.
They shot down the pilot for Felipe Esparza. There was...
Oh, the one with what's his name?
Whatever kid, right, that was going to...
Ibarra. I forgot his name.
Right.
Yeah. They're supposed to, like, play brothers or something. I remember, yeah.
But they shot that down. You know, and a lot of the times that has to do with just that's the business, you know? I mean, in reality, that's kind of the business. You're going to get beat out by Jeremy Piven's new show.
Yeah, of course.
You know, which, I mean, Jeremy Piven.
I mean, you have, like, these recycled actors that are just, I mean, seems like they have a new sitcom. It gets canceled, then they pick up another one. And then you have these up-and-coming actors, Latino actors, and they can't even get a break.
Yeah.
I was surprised the other day. I was watching, what's that guy from King of Queens?
Yeah.
He has another show.
He has another show.
This fucking guy.
It's with the homegirl, Scientology girl. So, hey, man, goes to show that if you talk shit about Scientology, it doesn't get you axed out of Hollywood. I thought it would, but it didn't.
Nah. See,
Leah Remini.
Leah Remini. That's right, man. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, thinking about that, you know, the TV and, I mean, what do we have in the recent, you know, history? I mean, like, yeah, obviously the George Lopez show, he had...
Yeah.
He's on his third show now, I think, because he had the George Lopez show, then he had another one.
I never saw the other one.
Yeah, there was another one when he was like, he had like a son who was like half white or something.
Oh, shit.
It was forgettable, obviously, because I don't even remember the name.
Damn.
And then, well, obviously his talk show, but we got to do better than George Lopez. I mean, not in a bad way, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot more, there's a lot of talent out there that needs to be given the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know?
There's so many of us, but you know what I was... yesterday when I was having that conversation with this kid, right? Vivo Mezcal. Kid, I may say kid because he's fucking my age. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
This dude. And he talks about like having like that's a ghetto mentality. Like saying fuck it. Like, you know, like if you don't make it, fuck it. You know, fuck them. Or
right.
Like it doesn't matter. It's just like the worst mentality to ever have. And I think a lot of people are like stuck in that. Well, but damn, this didn't work out for me in this scenario, so that's it.
You know?
A lot of people are like, oh, I played football and fucking for Garfield and I was badass and that was it. He's like, but if I wouldn't have broken my leg.
Right.
He's like, how many people like fucked up their knees, you know, and actually made it to the NFL?
Yeah,
and
still
like,
fought through it.
Yeah. I mean,
you're just looking for an excuse at that point, you know?
Yeah. That's just a big mental trap that we all fall into.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, at least, like, somebody's got to sneak through, you know? Like, well, Gabriel Iglesias should have snuck through, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most popular, most general audience type of dude. And I mean, fuck, but Felipe, I mean, any one of them, Any one of them would have worked.
Yeah.
You know?
But well, those guys came up, you know, in the business together. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're homies from a long time. I remember seeing Felipe Esparza on Que Locos.
Yeah, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time. Back when he was skinny.
Shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
But, yeah, man, I mean, I think it all starts to, like, getting writers in there as well, like people, you know, to develop these shows, not just being the talent, but also,
yeah,
you know, the people behind it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you see a lot of, especially now with, you know, social media and people like web series and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of it, but it's mostly on the internet, but it's not, you know, on primetime TV. So,
you, yeah, man. But there is something to say that if you really want to make something,
yeah,
you go out and make it.
Absolutely. No, you're right.
Yeah, there was a girl that I met back here. She's a writer for a web series called Hentified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're out at like HBO shows,
yeah,
and you know, rubbing elbows, you know.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. I still got the fucking reference wrong, but I mean, they, you know, they're talking to other different people,
right,
in that same industry, so it's only a matter of time before they get somebody that knows how to put together scenes or has better equipment, and they get on a network, you know. So
yeah, I mean, Hollywood, you know, there's that. I forgot what it was. I was reading something, or I was on the internet, how that old tired Latino accent, you know, like the mom that, you know, came from Mexico, but she still speaks perfect English. It's just with the, you know, a Latin accent. And it's like, what the hell? Like, oh, mijo, I missed you. Or like, I don't know. It's like, that's, nobody talks like
that. Yeah, nobody talks like that.
You know? So, yeah, there's still a lot of people that got to, you know, put things in check. But, you know, I think that's the one thing I hate, like when you see like these Latino roles, you know, and they're given to non-Latinos, you know, and it's like they just butcher it. I'm like, I'm sure there was somebody that would have played that pretty well, you know, but they're just lazy. They don't want to look for it, you know. But
yeah, and then you get into other issues of like the people that are actually looking, the people that are making those decisions about who's going to get it,
right?
They don't know what they're looking for, you know.
Yeah.
Like if and you know, since we both like beer, you know, like just to make the reference, you know, if I give you, you know, four different IPAs and stuff, you that's knowledgeable, you're going to be able to tell me, you know, this is Citra versus this is Centennial, you know?
Right.
Hops. Other people is just like, I guess this is the one. And then they'll just pick one. It's like, that's a stout, bro. That's a stout. And everybody that knows it could tell it's a stout.
Yeah, even taking it more generally, it's like people think all beer is the same. You know, it's just,
oh my God, yeah. Like, dark beer. Yeah. Oh, I hate it when they do that to me.
Dark beer. Like, what does that even mean?
I mean, what are you, a child, first of all? Hey. Yeah, I also didn't like beer when I was little, but then I tried it. I became a man.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. No, yeah.
And now I can't stop drinking.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
man. I agree with that, man. There should be diversity, but it, the good has to make it out there. You know?
For sure.
That Paul Rodriguez had a good point. He said, like, we have to have more shows out there so we don't have just the one.
Yeah.
Because if you have the one, then you have to like it. You
exactly.
Know? Like, fuck, you there should be more than one to be like, oh, this one was better than that one. Like,
and that's the thing, you know, and that's what you see, like at UCB. It seems like I'm probably talking, you know, making assumptions sometimes, but like it seems like, oh, there's already that one Latino team, but there's like 100 white teams, and you know, that's why I want to be like, it shouldn't just be like, oh, why do we need another Hispanic team? We already have that one. So I'm like, fuck that. I want to start more, you know, and do more, and you know, be a force to reckon with. So. But yeah, and it starts everywhere, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, in a small theater right here. Well, not even small. UCB is pretty big, but, you know, whether it's on network TV or at the, you know, improv, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's definitely a lot of work that still needs to be done. But like you said, you just got to get out there and do it, man.
Definitely, man.
You know, so.
Definitely. And that's why I appreciate you coming down, man. Like,
yeah.
This whole thing only gets done with people doing stuff,
of course,
you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day. I mean, there's nothing that will happen or change if you just keep going the same way you're going. And it's great, man, doing this. Like I've really realized the difference between those that actually pursued what they want to do.
Right.
And that's all they did was do it.
Yeah, I mean, shit, you gotta, my buddy always says it, you gotta stop, what is it? Don't talk about it, be about it.
Fuck. Yeah.
I'm like, damn, why can't I come up with clever shit like that?
Yeah. I think other people said it, but
yeah, I know.
Like, I remember hearing it too.
Well, I'm not giving him complete credit, but he's the first time I heard it from him, and I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta stop talking about it and being about it. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you just got to get out there and do it, man. I'm like, yeah. You, man, with this. Look at you.
It finally got you on, man. At some point, I was just talking about it, yeah. You know?
It's all good.
Yeah, at some point, it just had to actually happen. And you know, there's a lot of things that have come about it. You know, a lot of things that were going to happen that didn't, you know, like yeah. With that whole Vice thing. That shit kind of threw a little salt in the game, but you know, it was interesting. Like when, again, yesterday talking to that kid, because something they were on a bill on a big time concert in downtown called Pay Dues.
Yeah,
they were hit up by one of the fucking OGs, man, MERS, and he's like, "Hey, do you guys want to perform the show?" And then fucking, dude, they're like, hell yeah. I mean, this is the biggest break. Everybody was like, holy shit, you guys are doing something right if you're going to do that. Turns out Lil Wayne gets sick. He was going to be the headliner. It was also the weekend of the Canelo fight. They scrapped the whole card. They're like, hey, this is postponed. Just hasn't come back, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then he had the mentality of like, you know what? Nothing has ever gone right for me in my career. So I'm just going to take this and just keep doing what I'm doing. Because obviously I'm doing something right.
Yeah, man.
And that's the best mentality to have. And I think most successful people will have that type of mentality.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You got to take the punches, you know. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Like I said, I'm still in my early infancy, like of this, trying to get this going. But, mm-hmm. You know, I know it's not going to be easy. It doesn't happen overnight, so... I'm enjoying myself right now, like I said, just with the struggles, because it's something new, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a year ago, I wasn't even doing anything like this. Now I'm, like, out there, I'm doing improv.
Just performing in aisles and stores and shit. Man.
You have a shitty night, you know, you bomb, and then, but then you're like, man, but I just performed, so that's cool, you know?
That is saying something.
So, yeah, man, I mean, you just got to do it. You just got to get out there.
Are you saying that eventually you want to do stand-up? Is that what it is?
It's something that I've always wanted to try, which is, like, I actually have this notebook with, like, stuff I've written out.
Okay.
And, you know, I got to go dust it off and just kind of maybe start writing again.
Okay.
Because, I do. I mean, it's another thing that I still haven't kind of built the courage to do it, like go to these open mics. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've only done the improv thing right now. But the stand-up, it fascinates me and it scares the shit out of me, too, you know? And I think that's how a lot of people see it as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's something that I want to do. And I know, and you and I have talked about this before, that you know, you have you done it, or did you say?
I've never done, see, like, dude, I'm a real big fan of stand-up. I've been a fan of stand-up since, like, high school. In high school, my French teacher, Miss Carmen Arenas, she...
Shout out.
I think she's at Lincoln High now instead of Garfield. But she let me have a comedy show after school. And I could invite anybody. And I think maybe about 6 people showed up, right? and I had, before that, we were doing, since my dad would record his music when he would sing, he would record them on tapes. So me and my buddy, oh yeah. So then he would, I got that freaking recorder. Me and my buddy had a little thing that we called satellite radio. Okay. It wasn't on satellite, it was just called satellite radio. And before, before we like talked on a radio kind of way, we would do 5 minutes of stand up.
No way.
Yeah. That's so awesome, there's some jokes out there. I mean, if I find the tapes, like you'll hear they're so dumb, and then you hear like the full blown East LA Boyle Heights me come out because there's nothing but fools and dig fool, a fool. So you know it's like nothing but that. And I also remember like just repeating. I don't know what happened, but I think I just repeated a bunch of other jokes that I remembered. And I was like, I think there's like a
you were the OG, was it Carlos Mencia?
I think I even stole like a Carlos Mencia joke, you know? We're just trying to like just make each other laugh, you know?
And that's what it's all about, man. Yeah. Just trying to make your friends laugh or make people around you laugh. Because I always got that I've always been like naturally funny or make people laugh. And me and my buddy from high school, I mean, when we get together, we're just like laughing our asses off. And we're like, dude, why don't we write this shit down and do something? But, you know, it's just something that was always just said and... kind of just, you know, the wind took it. Nobody ever said anything about it.
Well, that's what happens when people have different motivations like, of doing stuff. You know, you're like, why don't we write this down and make this into a show? They're like, football's on tonight, man. That's crazy. And they're okay with that.
So Okay, so you said you were doing that. How did that end up, though? You said only six people showed up to that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah, shit, man. It was only six people, and it was only six people in freaking... For sure, man. They came by, and I think we only took pictures of it. We didn't have, like, a video camera.
That's funny, man.
And at the end of the joke, like, my closing line, I had these breaker pants, and it was, like, a fucking... I wanted, like... I don't know if it was like if I'm a stripper or some shit. He's like, what if I was an awkward stripper and I just don't know when not to take off my clothes, you know? Like if I just do it when I get excited at random places, you know? Like I'm like, oh man, they gave me extra fries. And I just took off the breaking pants. Yeah, yeah. And that was the joke.
That's funny, man.
See, it was okay. Good. It was okay.
But I mean, shit, I laughed right now. That wasn't a pity laugh, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird, man. I had shorts under those, and I didn't go full Monty. That would have been
funny.
But like, I've always wanted to continue doing it because I fell in love with just listening to, like, I mean, George Carlin was right. My hero, Chris Rock, and lately, you know, I listen to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's so accessible now too. Man.
Oh yeah, you know, everybody podcasts has a special.
Yeah, specials. Yeah. I mean, I use Spotify a lot, and you could just, you know, listen to whole comedy albums. You know, mm-hmm. So it's. Yeah, that's the thing now. The accessibility, I think, is what got me more motivated to now. I have everything at arm's length, you know. So
definitely,
but yeah, man, it's definitely something that I know you have that in you, man, because you're very out there too. I mean, you're always pissed off though, but
that's fucked up, man. Dude, when you're telling me like, hey, man, stop getting mad, I'm like, ah, fuck, man. It's like I'm hanging around my brother and my family. Shit. I'm always like the one that gets mad, supposedly. You know, I got like two. I'm like a Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. And shit. I think it's the Jack Nicholson eyebrows that I got, man. They just make me look more pissed off than I really am.
I remember in high school,
or more perverted used to always, than I am. Sorry. just, hey, man, I'm just looking.
Like, you having a bad day? Nah, man, I'm actually happy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Now, I remember in high school, too, like, I was always very serious in high school. I don't know why. Uh-huh. I think it was maybe a defense mechanism. Like, I didn't want anybody to mess with me. And uh-huh. I was always like, I would have like a, you know, my eyebrow, what is it, like a scowl or
a
something?
Scowl.
And people were like, oh, why are you mad? Are you having a bad day? I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Yeah. And they're like, I remember girls would be like, oh, you're so conceited. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, because I wouldn't smile. And I was like, nah, man. But then like when people got to know me and I'd be messing around and, you know, joking, they're like, uh-huh. Oh, dude, when I met you the first time, I thought you were a dick.
Oh, shit.
I'm like, nah, man, I'm cool. But yeah, it's just one of those things that you just don't, you think you could do something, but you don't act on it. And then it just becomes something that you just, you know, you put it behind you. So,
yeah.
But...
Yeah, I was going to say, man, conceited, isn't that like the kind of word that didn't pass high school? Like it just, you used it up until high school and then you don't
use it. And then you don't use it again. Yeah.
You find other words. I'm like, conceited, you're like, shit. Yeah. When do they teach kids that word? Is that like fifth grade shit, and then it just runs all middle school?
Dude, I mean, thinking back at like middle school and high school, I couldn't even pinpoint when it entered my vocabulary, but it was definitely there. It was definitely prominent.
Yeah, yeah.
Conceited.
What's Spanish? Muy, muy, ¿verdad?
Muy, muy. Te crees muy, muy. Oh, míralo. I would, what was the thing? Oh, I used to be like, I'm not conceited, I'm confident. I used to say,
now he's really conceited.
Yeah, seriously. It didn't go so well. I thought I was doing something better, like trying to sound better, and it just ended up making it worse.
Making it worse.
Yeah, I just remember in high school, I was always like a clown, too. I tried to be like, me and the books never got along too well, you know?
No.
I mean, I was a decent student, but I just think I felt victim of one of those things where, like, the way they taught shit, I just didn't like the structure because I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But test taking like that,
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? But I mean, yeah, it's just something I always wanted to do, like I said. So I remember my buddies in high school, you know, I went to a private Catholic school.
Fancy pants.
Yeah, seriously. My parents, that's for another podcast.
Yeah.
My religious life. I went to parochial school. From second grade to eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to a private Catholic school in the Valley, Alamany, if anybody
is
from Alamany. No. But I remember we did this one little skit one time with me and my buddies. We were at this retreat. It was my buddy Joe, actually two buddies that were named Joe. And we're just messing around, pretending like it's like slapstick shit. We were doing like hitting each other, pretending we got hit in the nuts. And and I remember people were just laughing their asses off, and it just felt so good, you know. And that's kind of like the first time I got like a real good taste of it.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple weeks later, we're in school, and they had like this this talent show. No, it was a lip singing contest. That's what it was. And they needed acts. Uh-huh. They're like, hey, remember you guys were doing your shit right there? You know, do you guys think you could help us out? Because our friend was the president and the whatever school student body president. And we we put this like last minute act together. We lip sing to Kung Fu Fighting.
Oh my god! Everybody,
yeah, it was Kung Fu Fighting, and it was just the most funniest thing. And yeah, I mean, I love that. And it's funny because that was probably like one time that I performed, and I never did it again.
Wow.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It's crazy, man.
It's weird looking back at the things that you're like, huh? Was that when the seed was planted, when the spark was lit?
Serious,
you know,
man.
Huh?
And like also what you were saying about the singing. Like I love to sing, and I've sang with mariachi.
Well, you could sing, man. You got a fucking voice on you.
The thing is, I mean, I'm not gonna say I don't because I know I do, but I just, you know, I know that I could. I just got to control. Like, what did my dad say? ¿Estás bien desafinado or whatever? I forget what the word. Like, damn, dad, I'm just... Because my dad actually performs. Uh-huh. My dad, you know, plays the guitar and the trumpet. Mm-hmm. But this is crazy. He kind of also got me motivated to do what I'm doing now because he retired about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. He didn't take up those instruments until after his retirement.
Jesus.
Yeah. So...
That's dope, man.
Yeah. So my dad is a part of, like, this group in the San Fernando Valley. And... it's like a senior citizens center. It's funny to say senior citizen, but my dad hates that. He says, "Ah, mira ya la música con los viejitos." He always says, uh-huh. I'm like, "Yeah, and you're one of them." But yeah, like he took that on, you know, later on in life, you know, okay. And it's something that he always wanted to do, and he's always sang, like I said. So that's where I got it from, and my dad too, you know. You know, it's one of those things. He didn't have time to pursue his dreams. You know, you got to work. You got to get your ass to work. Wake up at 4 a.m. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna give it a shot. So.
It's a good move, man. Yeah. It's a good move. If he figured out how to settle those angsts,
right.
You know, now, you know, same for you, you right. know, take care of that now. And then, man, I'm sorry. I got this phone on. You know what I'm saying?
It's all good, man. But yeah, dude,
we'll do it, man. One of these Mondays, we'll go out and do some open mics to see what happens. We'll go bomb at them.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, maybe not bomb, but just try it. But yeah. Let's see what happens.
I mean, why not, right? I mean,
yeah, fine. Why not?
That's how you got to look at it. Why not? I mean, nah, I can never do that. Okay, why not? You know,
and if you can. And some people can't. Some people shouldn't. Yeah, or should be told to stop. You know, like, maybe you wasted some time.
Well, yeah, but that is true. You know what? I take everything back. We'll take care of this in editing.
No, I mean, it is a tough thing because then some people do get better, and I think you should really try as hard as you can. That's the thing about stand-up from what I've learned from listening to so many podcasts with comedians and stuff, and you got to be really honest with yourself and say, like, hey, this isn't working. What am I doing wrong? Do I look like I'm pissed off? You know? You know? Maybe it's that, you know? And you have to be really self-critical to be able to improve.
Yeah,
that's probably true with anything,
though. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could take that into any aspect of life, but I think more so in stand-up, man.
Definitely.
Because, yeah, I know we've all seen guys that they're up there and you're like, how the fuck did this guy,
you know? Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, damn, his confidence must be through the roof because he's up there and he's killing. I mean, not killing, he's getting bombed. I mean, he's bombing and he's just still up there and he's like, give a fuck.
Yeah, he heard the laugh like in the corner and he's like, yep, that's it. Killed the room.
So I got one laugh. That's cool. I'm down with that, man.
Damn.
But yeah, damn.
Yeah, I had one of the first people that I had on was my buddy Manny Herrera.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes up on Kill Tony.
Yeah.
At the Comedy Store. And, you know, it's all luck, but that motherfucker's been on like 3 times and shit, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And he's gotten funnier. Like, from when I've known him just as a fan to getting up there and doing it. And then you follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And he fucking writes some funny shit, man. Like, you're like, huh, this guy has got the formula, you know?
Yeah, because he's doing it. He's getting the reps in, man. Yeah. He's getting out there and he's falling on his face. And whatever doesn't work, fucking axe it. Get it out of your set. Your and then wheelhouse. Whatever works, you know, just build on that. And that's all it is. I mean, people think you're just going to go up there and kill. I mean, it's a craft. It's something you got to work at.
Yeah. The economy of words and stuff. I find that happening like sometimes when I'm trying to get a point across on this fucking thing, and I'm like, ooh, it sounds clunky. Like, I trust me, if anybody's listening to this, I feel just as bad as you do. when I'm trying to deliver a point and you're like, just fucking get to it, man.
Come on.
Like, so, you know, but it's
like that, what is it, that Chappelle skit, Wrap It Up. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Wrap It Up. He's in court.
Yeah, man.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's all practice.
Yeah.
It's all practice.
Absolutely, man. And I just got to get a few other things in my life in check, like not drink beer too much.
So. Is that? I think most of us need to like find some kind of medium, you know?
Serious, man. I mean,
yeah.
It's not easy, though, working from the beer business, too. So, but.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, craft beer is interesting.
But, yeah. I remember you telling me that you used to do this other podcast, too, with the cigars and stuff.
Yeah, me and my buddy, Jeebus.
Yeah.
You know, we've been smoking cigars since we're 18.
That's cool.
I remember I went down there. I bought those cigars. I want to have Nino on that. You know, she's down there. Ninoska Munoz, Nicaraguan to the T. She's super badass. And her mom's a roller. Her aunt's a roller. Her aunt had a factory. She passed away, rest in peace, in La Puente called El Beso. And if I could roll some badass cigars there, her mom would show up and roll down here on Second Street in downtown. And I mean, she's been in the business forever. So yeah, I went down there. They had an event the day before, and she's like, "Well, I mean, instead of buying one, why don't you buy the 5-pack of the cigars we tried last night?" It was a brand called Fonseca.
Okay.
And I fucking went home and I tried that first one. I was like, "Oh, this is fucking magic." Maybe there's some shit that's predisposed in you that, you know, I always felt like an old man even when I was young. I had these tastes and shit for like bourbon and whiskeys and shit since I was little. It's not like I'm a gentrifier. I'm a fucking asshole.
No,
I've been like this, dog. You know,
it's funny you say that because I've always felt that way too. Like I used to listen to Kareth 101 growing up.
No,
like old movies. I used to stay up late and watch like AMC and Turner Classics, like old movies. I mean, it's not the same thing, obviously, as like the bourbon, but like
it's kind of like having an old soul. Yeah. You know. I knew a kid in high school that used to watch that freaking detective show, Columbo.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, and I was like, and he showed up to school. He's like, "I fucking love Columbo." I'm like, this fool. And he worked at El Tepeyac. His name was David. He'd always be stoned to the gills. And he's like, "Ah, Columbo's dope, man. That fool figures this shit out."
That's funny, man. Columbo, wow.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't control, I mean, sometimes, you know, like what you end up getting into.
Of course.
And that's what we got into. Later on, I was like, "Dude, we got to go down there." We started smoking cigars. We hung out with people in the cigar industry. Nice. And because we're fucking 18, everybody was like, "What the hell? Like, you know, you're way too young for this." You know, we're legal, but, you know, like, you're way too young to be into this. And we started doing these reviews because all the cigar reviews that we're watching, it's a bunch of, like, plain whatever people that... And I say that about beer too, man.
Right.
There's too many fucking squares. Like I thought craft beer was going to be like the punk rock of beer, but there's a bunch of little bitches. Like they're all uptight. Like you can't say cunt in front of them because they might get upset.
right.
Or you just gotta watch your P's and Q's around them. You know. And that's what it was like in cigars. So we just started reviewing them on YouTube, and more people started watching. And I know we attracted like the fucking the bear community for sure. There was like a whole little subgenre of like shirtless guys smoking cigars. I was like, "Oh, all right, well, we're not doing that." But yeah.
Well, I mean, fuck it, dude. If that's who you reached, I mean, that's who got you. Who's into it? Then fuck it, you got to build on that.
I don't know if I have to build on it, but I mean, yeah, we're bringing Eric on next season.
Yeah. Oh man.
But I mean, we did that and. You know, I wish we could do something else. I'm gonna try to have more cigar people on here.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Because it's weird. Like, you know, you think about a cigar, you almost think it's like super fancy. Like only Jay-Z can have a damn cigar. Mm-hmm. But they're not crazy expensive,
right?
And it's kind of like wine tasting, man. And it's made by fucking Latinos in Latin America. So unless you're culturally from there, you know, it doesn't really cross over. But I mean, if you're a Cuban, that shit's a part of life.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be fancy. You just smoke a puro from, you know, Vuelta Abajo and chill like a fucking Castro.
There you go, man.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool, man. You gotta, if you find something you love, it's like the same thing, you know, with the comedy thing. You just gotta go for it.
Yeah.
You know, people were looking at you guys like you guys are little young knuckleheads. What'd you do? You started your own podcast. You're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's cool, man. That's what it should be about. That's what we should be encouraging each other too, you know?
Yeah, in reality, that's what it is. It comes down to encouragement, because when you, from a lot of people that are actually succeeding, they almost always say the same things that they get told or they hear from other people, that they're like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, the comedian supposedly.
Right.
You know, I'm sure Philippe Esparza didn't get, you know, credit from a bunch of people until he's on HBO, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, supposedly he's a comedian.
Yeah. Oh, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and then even then, you know, you might reach a certain level of success, but behind the scenes, success may not look like what you'd always imagine. You might not have a fresh, you know, Rolex and a Maserati.
Right.
But you're pursuing what you want to do, and at the end,
that's the success. Yeah, exactly.
Success.
That's deep, man.
It
no,
is
but it's
deep,
the
man.
Truth, though.
Fucking
I mean,
high, man. These kids smoking weed next to us. Shit, huh?
Where the fuck am I, man?
Nah. Yeah.
Nah, that's funny. But yeah, I totally get that. You know, there's a lot of people that have like this skewed view of how life should be, or like you said, success. But what is it exactly to be successful? To me, it's just, you know, doing what you want to do. Doing, you know, you want to get up every morning and, you know, be a comedian or sell beer or be a garbage man. And uh-huh. you're happy with that, then you're a success.
You're
I think,
a success.
You
know? Yeah, fuck yeah, man.
You know?
At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. Are you happy doing what you're doing?
But if you're not, then go do what you want to do. Or I know it's hard, easier said than done, obviously. I mean, fuck. But yeah, man, I just knew I don't want to live life like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Live life like that. So.
Is that why you have such like a, I wouldn't say negative, but like a cautionary, you know, like avertment towards, you know, settling down, quote unquote settling down. Like you said, the soccer dad or the pee wee dad.
I think that in a way, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's one of those things that I felt that I've lost time or wasted time because, you know, I'm 35 right now. And I'm like, man, if I would have only pursued this, you know, 10 years ago. So I feel like this is the time that I got to go full bore, go do it hard, you know, get the reps in and do what I have to do because, yeah, I don't want to be, you know, 9 to 5 and, you know, everybody's like, I mean, being a homeowner would be an amazing thing, but it's like, oh yeah, have my mortgage. And, you know, and like I said, going back to what I said earlier and then just being like Mr. Soccer Dad or, you know, Little League Dad. I don't know if that's what I want. You know, I want to maybe, if that's eventually what happens, but at least I know that I pursued what I wanted to do. And if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But it's going to work out. Let's hope, man.
Dang, this was conceited and shit.
No, damn. No, I'm not conceited. I'm just always serious, man. There's no reason to smile.
Yeah. That's fucked up, man, because I'm usually really happy and stuff. I just get the scowls. Like, I could say things the wrong way for sure. That's been me.
Oh yeah, I mean,
like, I'm working on it. I'm trying not to be an asshole. I'm really trying.
I'm really trying.
Yeah,
I'm really trying right now as we speak.
I'm fucking it. I'm overanalyzing myself more than you can believe.
Absolutely, and I think we all do that. I mean, well, not everybody. I know I definitely do it though.
Uh huh.
Because. You know, I like I said, I've had that people tell me that I'm a jerk or like, and I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. But then I try to come off as, you know, Mr. Happy, and I'm like, I'm so fucking fake right now. So then I'm the fake guy, you know?
Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah.
There's got to be a good, like, you know, in between. And, you know, I think some people never achieve that. And I think, you know.
Yeah, which is the totally honest all the time. That's so hard because you're trying to manage, like, the relationship of whatever's going on, the interaction. You're trying to have a good one or you know, not let your feelings show.
Yeah, I mean, or you have, like, these two perspectives of people. You ask one person, what do you think of, you know, Eric? Or, yeah, he's a nice guy, and somebody, you know, is a fucking asshole. And it's like, how do you have that? I mean, I think I told you this story, like... It's not a good story, but I'm going to say it just because.
Love it. Go for it.
It was so I was in, this is another high school story. There was this guy that we went to school with. His name was Stephen Bush.
Oof.
Okay? And I used to call him Harry.
Of course.
You know, it's just
sounds familiar to another story, but yeah.
Yeah, Harry cool. Bush, you know, and I was like, and I used to throw spit wads at him. And, you know, I was not, you know, I went through my phase where I was a little fucker, you know.
Yeah.
This is high school, so I mean, this was like freshman year, you know, trying to find my place, you know. So we go through all 4 years of school and, we're at the retreat, actually the same retreat where me and my buddies, we did like the little variety show for everybody or whatever. And we had this one night where they're like, if there's anybody you ever wanted to talk to in the last 4 years or and you couldn't, or you wanted to tell them something, or, you know, just kind of let's get some closure tonight, or, you know. And in my mind, I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm like, I'm cool. I have my friends. And, you know, I definitely wasn't that guy I was in freshman year, you know. I've always already far removed from that. But as the night's progressing, Stephen Bush comes up to me. And he's like, hey, man, I just want to tell you that you made my freshman year a living hell. You're a fucking asshole. And because of you, there were days that I didn't want to go to school, you know. And I was like, what? And, dude, I mean, talk about like a fucking punch to the gut, man. I was like, damn, dude, I couldn't believe it, you know. Uh-huh. And I was like, fuck, dude. I was like, man, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry, you know, I'm not that person anymore. And I really wasn't, you know. It was just, you know, you're a knucklehead and you grow out of it. So,
and you're like, just fucking grow some balls, Harry Bush. What's up?
Yeah, what the fuck, man? But yeah, dude. And it's like, it just kind of put things into perspective that right then and there. And I was like, fuck, dude, I gotta change my personality. And
oh, okay.
But it made me a better person in that moment. Yeah. But yeah, dude, this motherfucker comes up to me and tells me, God, I made his life a living hell. And I was like, okay.
What if he just started shaving his nuts like all the damn time? You know what? Fuck it, man. Like, I am not Harry Bush.
I know, right?
Look at this, Aaron. You know, he just shows you like, oh.
He mails a fucking envelope full of pubes and shit.
Is this Harry Bush for you?
That would be a good skit, man.
That would be a good skit, man.
I'm write this shit down.
Damn, dude, I was a dick. All right, I guess. Or you just call him No Bush. What's up, No Bush?
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll still figure something out.
He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out.
Fuck, man. But it was just one of those moments you're like, God damn, maybe I am an asshole.
Yeah.
But I think we've all had those moments where we've terrorized somebody, or when you're like, why are you shaking your head? And I'm just playing.
Yeah.
You know, you've been the bully or been the bullied, you know, been the person that's being bullied. I've definitely been bullied too, but I was like, fuck, man. Okay, I'm not going to be a jerk anymore.
Yeah, I think as people, like, you kind of do test who you can punk or who you can't.
Of course. You size people up and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, okay, yeah. What, you know, the ones that are the best are the ones that realize what's going on and they're just like, oh, this was being a jerk. Yeah. They just move on. You know, instead of being like, oh, shit, do I have a hairy bush? And then I don't want to go to school tomorrow, you know?
Right.
It is, we as people, I think, have a tough time just managing what other people think about us.
Right.
We don't know what to do with it. We can't control it. You spend your whole fucking life being like, ah, shit, everybody tells me I'm a dick. And you're like, yeah, I'm a fucking dick. Well, that's it. I mean, what do you do with that? You just feel bad. And then some people that are dicks to you, you're like, oh, I'm being a dick again. It's like, nah, man, in this case, they're being an asshole. Or don't give them... I've always talked about, like, with accounts, you know, you know, just so we could relate. When you have an account, somebody that you're trying to get their business, and they're just straight up dicks.
Yeah,
there's no way around it. They are not nice to you. You can't change their mind. You never did anything wrong. They just started off wrong,
right.
And you can't make that person better. But you got to live with them with this type of relationship, and it's so hard to, like, the people that could do it. God bless y'all, but. To leave, you know, and then be like, all right, I'm still fucking Eric, you know, I'm still Serge, you know, like, that doesn't affect who I am outside of this interaction.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've run into many issues like that with a lot of the customers that I have. They'll try to talk to me in a certain way or talk down to me, and you know this about me. Like, I hate when people, like, kind of talk condescending.
Uh-huh.
I fucking hate that shit. So, you know, if they come at me hard, like, yelling, I match them, and I'm like... And then why are you yelling at me? I'm like, that's how you're talking to me, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a hard ass at by any means, but you know, but I mean, I'm still going to defend myself. But
you
like
got
you
that
said,
voice on you too, so it fucking intimidates. It's like, oh shit, who invited the lion?
Yeah, no, but it's funny because guys, like, they'll tell me, you know, for anybody, well, obviously you can't see me, but you know, I'm Hispanic, you know, beard and long hair. But
might as well be a Maori, like you're fucking Samoan, bro.
Ah, shit, man. When I went to Europe, they thought I was from New Zealand. They're like, "Are you Kiwi?" I was like, "No, I'm Mexican, man."
I told you, my uncle had the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, "You're the biggest Mexican we've ever seen." Shit, he's just wide, you know.
Yeah, they expect little Oaxaqueños, you know,
yeah.
little.
Yeah, yeah.
But Yeah, dude, I just hate when people try to, you know, talk condescending to you. But the point I was going to make was, like, they'll talk to me on the phone, you know. Uh-huh. My dad's from Mexico, my mom's from El Salvador. I speak fluid, you know, Spanish.
Yeah.
But they say when I talk English, I don't even know what this means, but they say I sound like a white guy, which I kind of get what it means, but it's like, what do you mean? Like, what? I sound like a white boy? And they're like, yeah. Like, not that it's a bad thing, but so then I walk into the store and they're like, well, who the fuck are you? I'm like, I'm Eric. I'm like, you're not the same guy I spoke to on the phone. I'm like, yeah, man.
What you expect?
I know what you expect, exactly. You fucking 6'3", blonde hair, blue eyes? What? No, man.
To be fair, that's what the craft beer world kind of
is. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Do you have tattoos? Perfect, you're hired. You got a beard? Let's make it happen, white guy.
Exactly.
Shout out to all the white guys working in the beer industry.
Shit, I got the beard. I don't have the height, but I got to get some of that cream that Sammy Sosa uses. But yeah, it's just like this misconception that they could punk you around or like,
right,
you know, or like if you have like an old rep that was a punk or, you know, and then they try to do the same thing with you and like, no,
we're not doing this. Nope. We're not playing this game.
Not here.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't claim to be this hard ass, but you got to hold your ground sometimes because they'll walk all over you, man.
Do you think that happens with age a little bit? Because I definitely feel a lot more confident with saying, like, you're not going to say that to me now.
Right.
I still get into like, wait, are we gonna fight right now? Because you're talking to me like we're going to fight. Yeah, in which case, I'm down. Down to fight. I'm always up for it.
I mean, I would think in my experience, to answer that question, yeah. I mean, with age, you just get to a point when you're like, I'm a fucking grown-ass man.
Hey, man, you don't pay my bills. Seriously, you can't just say shit like that.
And it's the truth. I mean, you're out there fucking busting your ass, and you have some guy tell you, and it's usually like older men, right, you know, that just think they could have their way and be like, oh, I'm going to talk to this kid, because they still look at us as kids or young guys. But yeah, you're not. You're an adult, man, and it definitely comes with age. You're like, motherfucker, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's definitely something that hopefully we all get to a point, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to be a pushover all your life.
Damn. When you see that, you know, you're like, oh man, that's shit. You were a Labrador when you were little, right, and you just never went pit bull. You just never went, you know.
I've always seen these guys and I'm like, damn, I wish I could just take them under my wing and be like, you can't do that shit, you know. No, some guys are just, you know, far
come
too
on, deep. Harry.
Yeah, I know.
Get in line, fool.
They're so deep into the rabbit hole, they're just, yeah, man, but
yeah.
Yeah, age is crazy, man. You just start looking at things differently, man.
Yeah. Start prioritizing what your feelings are, what the things that are important to you,
yeah,
and what you want to accomplish, and you do become a lot more motivated, you know?
And what not to eat at 2 a.m. after a night of drinking, because you can't recover like you used to.
Yep.
Yeah, no,
but damn, Jack in the Box is so good, man.
Shit, don't even remind me, man.
Oh, man, what are you doing after this? I only eat half a torta, I'm done.
No, I think I'm already maxed out on my fast food intake, man.
Okay.
Yeah, because I got home, I got 3 last night, and... And I'm not complaining at all. It was a fun night, but you know, I needed that food, and so convenient. You know, they know what they're doing at Jack in the Box.
Oh, of course.
You know,
they have a munchies box.
So there you go. I mean, we went, and I woke up this morning, and before I came, I told you that I had already eaten, and I'm not proud of it, but I had Del Taco. This is one thing that I tell people: if you see fast food in my car, because I never eat. I used to, but say in the last 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. If I'm eating fast food, I'm hungover.
Oh, shit.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm hungover.
Yeah.
So,
you're like, I already made one bad decision.
Yeah, let's exactly. Keep so going might as well keep going. Away. Yeah. If you see a Jack in the Box bag in my car, you knew the night before I was drinking.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not.
Yeah. Hey,
not something,
man,
to be proud about.
It's not. I mean, sometimes that's what you want to get.
Yeah.
You know? Just go ahead and get it.
Yeah, man.
It's all good.
It's crazy. Not proud of it.
Fuck, none of us are, man, especially after that. But, well, fucking A, man. We've already done an hour chilling and talking. Is there anything else you want to tell people about what's going on with you or what's going to come up?
Well,
that you know you're going to do?
Yeah, right. Well, right now, currently, I don't have anything on deck. I'll be totally honest with you. I'm starting a new practice group with some other friends, and we're trying to get, like I said, this whole Latino improv scene, you know, trying to grow it more.
Uh-huh.
So definitely be looking out for that. I'll let you know, maybe throw a plug in sometime.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, man, if there's anybody out there that wants to do improv, you know, UCB right now, we have a great community that's really you know, trying to grow it.
Okay.
And there's a page on Facebook called the Latinx, UCB Latinx group. Latinx,
oh, shit.
Yeah. So it's just something that I'm very passionate about, and I really want to, you know, make it happen.
Awesome.
So, yeah, man.
Oh, fucking A, man. Yeah, anytime you have something coming up, you want to plug it, let me know.
Absolutely.
I'm going to start doing these little commercials before the episode. You know, if anybody's a sponsor or wants to, you know, be a sponsor of one of these podcasts, I could send you like a little sheet, like what
Absolutely,
it would be.
Man.
You know, I could do a shout out and stuff.
Yeah, like I said, it's not just something that I'm in, because like I said, we're a community, and
right.
you know, there's a lot of shows. There's always shows, you know, mm-hmm. that are going on throughout LA. So I'll let you know, and then
perfect,
get a
man.
Plug in there.
Fuck yeah. Well, Eric, thank you for coming on, man.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome,
long,
man.
Long overdue. So it's
long overdue. We'll do it again, man, whenever
Absolutely,
you want, whenever
man,
you
yeah.
have a free time. All right, guys. That's it for another episode of the Dude from Los Angeles podcast. Check us out next week. I'm going to get some other people on. We're going to have a good time.
Peace.
Later.